Next guest presents a genre bending novel, Blowback 07. You're going to be transported back to 1907, where legendary coach Pop Warner, future Olympian Jim Thorpe, and Carlisle Redman changed the game. Plays and formations like the modern spread and shotgun have since become mainstays in high school, college, and professional football. So let's go along for this ride and this read. Blowback 07, when the only way forward is back. Author Brian Meehl on the line. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Looks like you have this expertise to talk about the history of football and time travel and more with your latest work. You have published four novels with Random House, and I like that you were a puppeteer on Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's right. I put down the puppet and picked up the pen at one point.
That's great. Well, Brian, thank you for your talents. You launch a sensory-spinning trilogy to be continued, I understand, but let's stay in the present. Blowback 07, in your words, what's the theme? What's it about?
Well, the tagline of the book, right on the cover there, is "When the Only Way Forward is Back." And that's really kind of the theme, is basically taking kind of high school kids who are going down a certain path, and most of them, I have four kind of protagonists in the series, and I call them my time travel team. But they are, you know, typical high school kids going down certain routes and maybe hitting dead ends or taking some odd turns, and they end up going back to the past to kind of have an experience that becomes a rite of passage and kind of realigns their inner compass and transforms them in certain ways, just as they go back to a period of time, particularly in sports history, where a particular sport is being transformed. So in this first book, in Blowback 07, and the 07 is 1907, as you mentioned, there's just this very little-known story about the Carlisle Indian School, which was an all-Indian school formed in the 1870s. And they started playing football against the big Ivy League schools in the 1890s. And football at the time, prior to 1906, was this incredibly rough, violent, fatal game. There are a lot of fatalities in 05 and 03. One of my favorite terms to describe what it was like, it was very much a middle-of-the-field brawl that was played, mass plays, and anything went. There was slugging and, you know, biting, and one of the things they did at the bottom of the pile is they'd bite their legs, and it was called free lunching. Anyway, I send a kid, a kind of contemporary kid. It's a wonderful story of what this scrappy team, this Indian team, did to kind of, more than any other team, to create the modern game, particularly when the forward pass was legalized in 06 to try to open up the game and make it safer. And the way I want to tell the story via historical fiction and a dose of time travel is to send a hotshot quarterback who's full of himself from the contemporary era. He goes back to 1907, and he totally crashes and burns when he tries to become their quarterback because he can't throw the big, fat, rugby-style ball that they had then, and he doesn't understand and know all the rules. So he gets demoted to the line. He becomes a guard, and he has to kind of relearn the game from the ground, literally the ground up. And he has all these struggles on the field and off the field. He starts crushing out on an Indian girl at the school and stuff, and has all these struggles, and he ends up kind of being transformed by the experience and his kind of quest. When he's back there, he has to, quote unquote, play his way home.
Brian Meehl with us again. Blowback 07, When the Only Way Forward is Back, is his latest release, described as a genre-bending novel. Why would that be the description? Who's your target audience here?
My target audience is YA, which is young adult, and there's this new kind of target audience in publishing. People talk about NA, which is new adult, which is kind of about 15 to 29, because YA has been so popular. A lot of those younger YA readers, as they grow into their 20s, continue to read YA. And I also think of this as a crossover book for adults. because it's a page turner, and it opens a window on a fascinating period in the history of football and in the history of Native Americans in the country. So I try to write books that I would enjoy reading, because I have to read my own books as I rewrite them so many times. So I think this book would be enjoyed by young adults all the way up.
And Brian, again, another descriptor. It has become infamous for stripping children of their language and culture, but most people forget that, as you present us, the Carlisle Indian Industrial School also, I mean, literally did give birth to America's, our sport of football?
Well, the modern version of it, the one that developed, the Carlisle Indians were the first to really utilize the passing game. Pop Warner called it the air attack. And open up the type of game with an open running field and all sorts of innovations. A very famous formation they developed in 07 called the single wing, which comes down to us today as the Wildcat. And this formation did more than probably any other to open up the game, and was used in football for decades after that. But the Indian aspect of the school, it's a fascinating thing, because there was very much a double standard. The athletes, and particularly the football teams, were probably one of the first schools where, you know, they were given special treatment. They had a training table. They got better food. And the rest of the students, it was also an industrial school, so they were there to not only be a lot of them to learn English and get an education, but to learn a trade as well. So, you know, scholars, I'm not a scholar on this. I'm someone, you know, a great fan of a particular era of the school, and have learned a ton about it with my research. But, you know, scholars are definitely pointing out that, you know, cultural, you know, appropriation was something that was going on. And I try to point it out in the book, in the telling of the story, how there was a double standard. Some of my characters back there are you know, one of them's a water boy for the team, who's a very important character. So I try to, you know, give a balanced view of what went on. Certainly some of those students came out of there and benefited from their education and their athletic experience. That football team of 07 created some extremely successful and innovative football coaches that went on to great careers in college and stuff. So it's a real mixed bag, and you can be extremely critical of the school, but there are bright spots.
What was one of your biggest bright spots as a puppeteer on Sesame Street, Brian? You know I had to go there.
Well, I started actually as a body puppeteer first, so I was doing Barkley the dog back in the 80s, and I got to go do Big Bird in China and Big Bird in Japan, because out in the open of wider shots, the best person, the best character for Big Bird to be talking to was not a hand puppet that needed to be hidden, but a full body puppet. So I was Big Bird's second banana in the Barkley suit. So that was a wonderful time, and I had great adventures with that. But probably my favorite character that I did was I created Telly Monster, the one who worried so much all the time. He was much fun to work with. It was a good time.
Great. Well, again, your advanced placement for us, you will be continuing this trilogy with Blowback 63 and 94.
Yeah, that's correct. Blowback 63 is pretty cool. It's 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, and I found out about this fascinating period in 1863, in the spring of 1863, in Fredericksburg, Virginia. The Lee's Confederate Army was parked on one side of the river, the Rappahannock River, and the river is very narrow. It's like maybe less than 100 yards wide. And on the other side was the Union Army, the Army of the Potomac. And in the spring, April, March and April, before the big battle of Chancellorsville, both armies were playing baseball. The regiments were playing baseball on both sides of the river. They could see each other's games. They could trash talk each other across the river. So there was all this, and the quote from the diary that I found was baseball fever broke out in camp. So this is such a fascinating period of time, particularly since baseball was going through, there were two kind of different, very different rules of how baseball was played. There was Massachusetts rules and New York rules, and this was part of a time when they were trying to figure out which rules was going to be dominant. So I end up, one of my time travel kids, who's a ace, you know, high school pitcher with aspirations to become a pro, he and another character get sent back to 1863 and are pressed into the Union Army, and he starts playing baseball on one of these teams. And again, it's throwing a window open on a fascinating historical era when it comes to sport and telling the story through a high school kid, contemporary kid's perspective.
All right, busy man you are. Brian Meehl, M-E-E-H-L. Your latest is out, Blowback 07. How do we find out more information?
Probably the best thing to do is I have a new website dedicated to the Blowback Trilogy, and it's called, believe it or not, blowbacktrilogy.com. And there's all sorts of stuff on there about the books and a blog about the history of football and some pretty cool information about everything I've been talking about.
Great. Thanks. Keep up your good work, Brian Meehl.
Okay. Thank you, Shelley. Thanks for having me on your show.